Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Welcome back to Lon Woodbury and the Woodbury Report. It's the morning of March 10th, 2017, and I have Jared Schultz on the line. Jared, good morning. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Lon. It's good to be with you.
Well, today we're going to talk about, or the topic is, when work is therapeutic. So my question is, considering all the surveys I've seen and the majority of the adults that work hate their jobs, how on earth can work be therapeutic? It's just for a paycheck, right?
It's really a great question, because a lot of what we do in our society, we actually gear ourselves towards getting away from work. If you think about all the talk of retirement and all those kinds of things, the reality of it is that work is in and of itself a very therapeutic thing. When we look at how work defines us in terms of our identity, when we look at how we engage in work, and when you sit down and you meet somebody for the first time, one of the first questions they ask is, what do you do? And so that part of us, if we don't facilitate that, can be a challenge. And so if you think about the people that you mentioned that don't appreciate their jobs or they're struggling with their jobs, most often that's not because of the work itself. Most often that's because there's not a good match between that individual and what they're wanting to do. And so it's not that work in and of itself is not a good thing. It's that the match can often be off, or the various things that motivate them aren't being matched in that job.
It's a mistake to just be working for a paycheck, which I think a lot of people do. Because a lot of people are miserable in a job, but they have to have the paycheck. And sometimes I've seen some people, they might have a real good job, scientist or what have you, and take a pay cut to be an artist. And then they're happy.
Yes. Yeah. As much as it can be a burden to have a bad job, to have a good job can be very liberating and affirming. So it's really a lot about that match that we have with our job. With the adolescents, part of the challenge that we have is frequently kids don't engage in and haven't had an opportunity to really explore the world of work, to explore and understand how they can fit into that. And so they look around and what they hear in society is that work is drudgery, that work is something to be avoided, and they don't understand how powerful positive work can be for them. And so part of the piece of it being therapeutic is we start to look at work in the context of their identity. We start to look at work in terms of a strengths-based approach. We're not spending time talking to the kids about all the things they've done wrong and how they're not meeting whatever expectations. We start to create a different dialogue with the kids around what it is that they want to do. And the critical piece of that is the expectations. And these conversations about work can be very therapeutic and can be very helpful if we're really clear about what we expect. So if I'm sitting there and I'm talking to an adolescent and I say, have you thought about being a fireman? And they say, oh, I've kind of thought about that. And you say, okay, well, that's what you're going to do the rest of your life and nothing's ever going to change. Then they start to feel trapped. The dialogue that we need to have with them is that this is a developmental process, that things unfold throughout the course of our lives. Many of us are doing different things now than our first job. My first job was painting vacant apartments.
That sounds exciting.
As a teenager. Yeah, and doing vacancy work. And I learned a lot about work. I learned a lot about work behavior. But I don't want to do that for the rest of my life. And so having the freedom to explore and to rediscover our direction is an important part of that conversation.
Okay, let me interject here. Something I forgot to do, or should have at the beginning. You mentioned the we, you know, when talking to adolescents. You're the associate dean, an associate dean at the Utah State University, and a certified rehabilitation counselor. And also, maybe not least, brother of Steve Schultz with Red Cliff Ascent. And I'm just still amazed how you look and sound like him. But talk a little bit about the adolescents, particularly the struggling teens that Red Cliff Ascent work, or the college students that you work with.
Yeah, we do a lot of work with adolescents. And so I've worked quite a bit with Red Cliff, the Red Cliff group, and we'll do detailed vocational evaluations with their students. And so I think over the last 3 or 4 years, I've done close to 100 of those, 120 of those vocational evaluations. And the value of that is that a couple of things. Number one, you can start to program for those kids opportunities for them to explore their vocational direction. I think of one student in particular who, when we did the vocational assessment, he was very interested in security kinds of things, police kinds of areas of work, but he also had a strong pull towards art and aesthetic job clusters. And so as we worked with the program, then they were able to find him an internship and get him some experience in an actual art museum that was local. And half the day he helped to provide security, and half the day he led tours through the art museum. And more than the fact that, hey, I've got this internship and I'm starting to do that, is the opportunity for him to explore those things. Until he's out there and seeing things in the field, and he's being able to talk to people and observe, it's all kind of academic. It's what he thinks he wants, but he really needed more exposure. And so for him, that combination of an internship opportunity was just optimal.
It sounds like in working with the kid, and I particularly, a lot of these are going to be unmotivated, I'm sure, but it's finding their interest, but a large part of it's an internship, an actual experience, because we've gotten away from that over the last century.
Yeah, we have, and it's a critical piece, because a lot of that lack of motivation, what we as adults perceive as being a lack of motivation, very frequently is a combination of that adolescent's history. What are the messages they've been told about themselves? If they've been in a non-supportive environment, they may have heard messages frequently that you can't do things, you're not able to accomplish anything, that kind of thing. Their ignorance about the possibilities. If you take an adolescent into a place of employment, any kind of, you walk into a Walmart, they see the checkers, they may see the people stocking the shelves, but they don't understand that there are people in offices, and that there's janitorial work going on. There's shipping. There's so many pieces that go into that operation, and they're ignorant.
Like security too.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't understand the breadth of opportunities within a single given business. So when I meet with kids very frequently, I'd say 60% of the time when I'm doing a vocational evaluation, particularly the young men, want to be professional athletes or professional musicians, usually in the rap genre. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if you think about that, they are drawn to that. It's something that they're interested in. That's great. But they only see the athlete and the performer.
And the stars.
That's right.
Not the wannabes.
Right. And what they don't understand is you may not be 7 feet tall and being able to play in the NBA, but if basketball is an interest to you, there are a ton of different jobs that we can look at that you could qualify for that are connected to that. And so their exposure is minimal in terms of understanding the world of work. And so a lot of that exploration is about dispelling the ignorance. It's about getting beyond the ignorance and exposing them to a lot of different opportunities so that, you know, a couple months down the road, I say, what do you want to do? They may not say, I want to be an NBA player, but they may say, you know what? I'm really interested. When we went and visited the basketball arena, I saw people doing this, this, and this, and I think I'd like to try something like that.
Okay, let's put it in the context of struggling teens that that Redcliffe works with, and a kid that's lack of motivation, has gotten on the, had some problems, maybe got involved in some drugs, and you know the kid that's really gone off the rails and is having troubles, and self-destructive type of behavior, as if even if it's just sitting on the couch, being a couch potato, playing video games. So, I talk about how your work in the vocational work and introducing to work is therapeutic and healing from their general, I guess you could say, gestalt of lack of effect with the world.
Mm-hmm. The first piece that I think is really relative, related to that, Lon, is that the dialogue between the therapeutic staff and the adolescent is shifted when we talk about work. And it's not focused on that kid's deficits. It's a growth approach to the therapeutic process that has a very immediate recognition in the adolescent. They can see how that could be growth for them, and they can see how that can tie into their strengths. Most adolescents that I've worked with, you know, we talk about motivation. I think that most that I've worked with have something that they want to do. They can at least identify a couple of jobs that they go, yeah, I think I might like to try that. Those that don't have that, the large majority of the rest, at least recognize that they need to make a paycheck to support themselves.
Well, that can be a good motivator.
It can. And so they may not have the insight to say, here's what I want to do, but we can work on that piece through all kinds of exploratory activities and assessments that we can administer. But I think it's very rare that we have an adolescent who's just sitting there that has nothing that they want to do and no motivation, even money, to engage in any way. And yet I think frequently as clinicians, that's the most salient example. That's the most recent example that we bring up, and we say, well, this kid's, you know, and so we start to assume from clients and from the adolescents that they don't have an interest in this kind of thing. When the reality of it is if we start these dialogues and we start these assessment processes, it starts to create the dialogue where they can express that.
In other words, they're in a sort of a sense, and those you're talking about are sense of denial. They've just closed down that thing. Let me approach this from a different direction. I'm thinking of the parents that might be listening and has a non-functional kid or one that's lack of motivation. What aspects or principles could you suggest that they might try that you've used that found to work? What sort of advice could you give to a parent that has a unmotivated kid? And the line of work, I know there's a lot of other things too. Boot up the rear sometimes might fit, but what sort of things would you principles or ideas would you suggest?
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the best things, and this is going to sound simple, but it's not necessarily always easy, is the dialogue with the adolescent. And it doesn't have to be dialogue where you say, okay, we're going to sit down now and we're going to talk about work. It's not so formal. It's when you are in various places in the community pointing out, wow, look what that guy's doing over there. Look what that lady's doing for a job. That seems interesting, or that seems different, or I've never thought of that as a job opportunity. And you start to ask them to observe. It's about observing your surroundings. And really, that exploration, that exposure piece, is about learning to observe. Another piece that I think is really important that kids can latch on to and they can understand is to understand the stories of their family. what was it like for mom and dad when they were going through school, or they were trying to figure out, or what was the terrible job that they had when they were in high school, and what did they learn from it? You know, if you were to ask me, what's your family's background with work, I would say, shorter term, we're more professional. Longer term, farther back, we're a bunch of lumberjacks from Oregon. But that has an impact on me in terms of my identity and how working is a part of my family identity. So those are some, that conversation piece is really important. The other piece, though, very pragmatic kind of a thing, is when the kids make an observation. So you say, yeah, have you ever thought about what you want to do? And they say, I want to be an astronaut. I would suggest that we don't ever say, you'll never do that, pick another one. Because what they're doing is they're expressing an interest in some area. That's the first step to getting that match. Mm-hmm. And so rather than saying that's not an option for you, we say, wow, what is it about that that you really like or is interesting to you? And it helps them to start expanding their understanding of that type of a position.
Okay, I could see a lot of things. There might be interest in space, you know, astronomy or something like mm-hmm. that. It could be got impressed with the mathematics and the computer mm-hmm. programming that takes to make this happen. And that might be the interest. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, or it might be the suits look really cool.
Would you put it down a little more basic? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe they want to be an actor.
Yeah, and maybe they saw a movie and they were attracted to the drama of it or whatever. But we don't know that unless we ask the question. Mm-hmm. And even if as a parent, I'm sitting there thinking, there's no way that my kid has the ability to do that or the discipline to do that or whatever. The fact that I have an opinion on that tells me that I've gone through some exploration process to understand what that means. Mm-hmm. And so rather than robbing my child of that opportunity to explore, I want to expand it.
Okay, well, time's got away from us. We're about out of time, so why don't you take a minute and talk a little bit about what you do and who you work with and any contact information that if somebody wanted to ask you or find out more about Redcliffe or whoever.
You bet. So I actually have a day job at the university here at Utah State University. I do serve as the Associate Dean for Clinical Education. But I'm also the director of what's called the Rehabilitation Counseling Program. And rehabilitation counselors work with individuals primarily that have a variety of disabilities to help them gain access into the work environment and independent living environments. So that's kind of my day job. We do a lot with adolescents transitioning out of high school and going into adulthood, helping them to explore employment and those kinds of things. I also do a lot of work with the Redcliffe Ascent Group based here in Utah. I do vocational evaluations for them and actually as a consultant to individual families, we've done those as well. We coordinate those kinds of vocational services, and I serve as a consultant to them on how to set up internships and work exploration experiences for their students. If anyone would like to get in touch with me directly, my email is jared.schultz, that's jared.schultz @usu.edu. So that's my university email address. I'd be happy to respond to questions. If you'd like to get in touch with the Redcliffe Ascent Group, to be honest, I don't have their contact information in front of me, Lon, but if you Google Redcliffe Ascent, it'll get you there.
Okay, well, very good. Well, thank you. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. When talking with Jared Schultz, he's the Associate Dean of Clinical Education at Utah State U and a certified rehabilitation counselor, and we've been talking about when work is therapeutic. Well, thank you very much. This has been interesting, Jared.
Thank you.